Welcome into another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. It is Friday, June 13th, 2014. I'm your host, J.R. Davis. Today, our guest is Democratic gubernatorial candidate and former Congressman Mike Ross. He joins us today, and we're talking about your new Jobs First economic plan, 46 pages of which you announced yesterday at Fort Chaffee in Fort Smith. Talk to us a little bit about this plan and why it's significant to the state of Arkansas.
Well, thanks, JR. Good to be on the program with you. And you know, we call our economic development plan Jobs First. It's an action plan to cut taxes, improve education, and grow the Arkansas economy for everyone. And it includes reducing some of the burdensome rules and regulations within state government, lower fare taxes. You know, education, job creation go hand in hand. And we really put a great emphasis obviously on our pre-K initiative, but also on career and technical training.
And explain to me, yesterday you said in the press conference, you said it's time to put an end to partisan bickering and work together to put jobs first. Obviously, you're in a pretty heated campaign right now for governor. How do you feel like maybe both sides should go about this and how the focus should be put on jobs here in Arkansas when we've kind of seen even Governor Beebe at this point really focus on the jobs part of Arkansas and bringing those companies and stuff into the natural state?
Well, what I mean by that is, look, I'm an Arkansas Democrat. I'm a conservative, pro-gun, pro-God, pro-business Democrat. But look, I'm not running to be governor for the Democratic Party. I'm not running to be governor for the Republican Party. I'm running to be governor for all the people in this great state. And you know, I pledge to work with everyone who will work with me to make this state a better place to live, work, and raise a family. And I just think, you know, I left Congress. I left because I was fed up with how partisan and dysfunctional it had become. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, campaigns are campaigns. But when the campaign's over, we need a governor who has the temperament, the experience, the steadiness to work with everyone. And I'm committed to doing that.
Some interesting things as part of this 46-page plan. You have things that say, and you include, which caught my eyes, forecast of careers in U.S. Focus Report, governors, distinguished scholarships, and a prioritization of technical education. Hit on a little bit with the forecast of careers in those U.S. Focus Reports.
Yeah, you know, what I'm talking about there is for students in the 8th and 11th grade, I want to send home a report for them and their families to look at that basically says this: if you go get a certification in a career tech field, this is the year you'll enter the workforce. If you pursue a 4-year degree, this is the year you'll enter the workforce. And here are the forecasts. Here are the projections on where the biggest demand for jobs will be and what they pay. And I think it will just be a great resource for young people as they decide which direction to go. Look, we're 49th in America in terms of adults with a college degree. We've got to make college within reach for more young people, but we also need to be providing some direction or at least enough information for them to make good decisions so they're getting a degree in a field where they can get a good-paying job. And then for those who do not want to go to college. And look, you look at 100 ninth graders in Arkansas, 20 of them won't finish high school, 40 go to college, 20 graduate college. What about the other 80? I think we need a greater emphasis on career and technical training. I still call it VOTech, where young people that do not want to pursue a 4-year college degree, they can go beyond high school. We got great community colleges, great technical schools. We need greater partnerships between them, K-12, and existing industry. So they can learn a skill, they can learn a trade, they can get a certification, and get a good-paying job. And in doing so, it helps provide our state with an educated, trained, and skilled workforce we need to attract the good-paying jobs of today and tomorrow.
Obviously, anytime you have a plan like this, your opponent's going to come out and criticize it. I want to read a quote from you from Asa Hutchinson yesterday after
Sure.
you did announce this, and I want to get your thoughts on it. It says, quote, "He has zero credibility in job creation in the congressional district he represented for more than a decade in Congress." This is actually coming from Hutchinson spokesman Christian Olson. "While Arkansas's 4th congressional district struggled with job loss overall, Mike Ross's own home county saw unemployment increase by nearly 50% during the time Ross was in Washington, D.C. Furthermore, when Mike Ross took office, national unemployment was 4.2%. After 12 years in Washington, D.C., Ross left office with unemployment at 7.9%. Obviously, the national unemployment, there's not much one individual congressman can do. But I do want to hit on the part where they talk about your county in the 4th congressional district. Hit on that for a minute.
Yeah, it's It's silly. It's laughable in a way, but yet in another way, it's sad. I mean, they're talking about a time when we went through the worst economic recession since World War II, and you know they're blaming me for Obamacare when I voted against Obamacare. It was one of three Democrats to vote to repeal Obamacare, and now they're blaming me for the recession, not just in Arkansas but in America. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Here are the facts. If you talk to the folks in my hometown at Firestone Building Products, they almost pulled up and left and went to South Carolina. I worked with Governor Beebe to save that plant in my hometown, and they did employ 400 people. They've since expanded, and they now employ about 560 people. So it's like so many of these ads you see on TV. They're saying things that simply aren't true, and that's very sad.
I want to get into some other issues. Obviously, if people want to find out more about this 46-page plan, they can find it on your website, correct?
Absolutely. They can. The entire Jobs First Economic Development Plan for Arkansas's future, it's all available right there at MikeRoss.com. And while you're there, I hope you'll like me on Facebook.
All right, switching gears, there's a new ad out from the Republican Governors Association claiming you have a liberal record as a member of Congress. I want you to respond to this in just a minute. In the ad, the narrator says, Mike Ross helped bring liberal Nancy Pelosi to national power. The ad goes on to say that you voted with Pelosi and liberals for $7 trillion in new debt, the Wall Street bailout, the mortgage bailout, the auto bailout, and Obama's stimulus. Your camp responded by putting out an ad of your own. In it, you say, Congressman Hutchinson and his out-of-state special interest friends have spent millions trying to convince you I'm something that I'm not. You go on to call these spots untruthful ads. My question to you is, what's untruthful about these ads?
Well, first of all, the only time Nancy Pelosi had an opponent, I gave the nominating speech for her opponent. Second of all, when he talks about the bailout, that wasn't President Obama's. That was done under President Bush, and I voted the same way as Senator Bozeman and Senator McCain. You know, the whole thing is just, it's over the top. And most people know me. I chaired the conservative Democrats in the Congress, the Blue Dog Coalition, voted against Obamacare, one of three Democrats to vote to repeal it, voted against Dodd-Frank, voted against cap and trade. The list goes on and on. You know, if Pelosi ever writes a book someday, I promise you I will not be portrayed in a favorable light in it. And, you know, but don't take my word for it. Look at National Journal. National Journal, every year that I served in Congress, they listed me as one of the most independent members of Congress. And if you think you're fed up with Washington, you know, I was so fed up I quit my job. I didn't run again. I was fed up with how partisan and dysfunctional Washington had become, and came home and had a great job in the private sector, didn't plan to ever run for office again. And it was really a grassroots effort, people that just weren't happy with the choices that were out there for governor and people from all over the state asking me to step forward. I spent about 3 months thinking about this, praying about it, discussing it with my family. And you know, during that time, I came to the realization I wasn't fed up with public service. I was just fed up with Washington. And I also realized that the last thing we need in state government in Arkansas is the kind of partisan bickering and dysfunction that we see in Washington. And that's why, you know, my campaign is about a positive vision for the future of this state that's focused on education and job creation.
Yeah, this campaign or this race is something interesting just because you have two former members of Congress, and you've noticed with the Republican Governors Association, the Democratic Governors Association, both talking about you and your opponent is your time in D.C. So I think probably a lot of people kind of a wash there. There's experience to be involved in, and of course your time in the state legislature as well. Okay, speaking of, there's some big issues facing the state of Arkansas right now. One of the biggest issues is our prison system and the lack of prison spaces. I'm sure you know. I had your opponent, Asa Hutchinson, on last week and asked him about what he feels is most important when it comes to the public safety of the state. He said, quote, "You have to have the ability to send them to prison, and if there's not a space there, then we lose total control of our system." What are your thoughts on that?
Well, here's a bipartisan statement for you. He thinks he's got to criticize everything I suggest. I think what you just read makes sense, and I couldn't agree with it more. In fact, I think public safety is got to be at the forefront. We want our communities, our neighborhoods, we want our families to feel safe, and we want them to be safe. I think there's a lot of things that we can look at in terms of prison reform. We may need to build another prison. We got more
state inmates backed up in county jails than ever in the history of this state. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you we're not going to have to build another prison. But if we do, I want meaningful reforms tied to it. You know, 42% of the folks locked up today, they're there on drug charges, and we're sending them to prison, and they're not really criminals. They're just they got a drug addiction, and we send them to prison, spend $25,000 a year, basically teaching them how to become a real criminal. They need drug treatment. They need job training, so they can get a job and pay taxes like the rest of us. And so I think we need some meaningful reforms. I also think we need to make sure that when folks are getting out of prison, they're getting out with a skill or a trade, and so they can get a job and hopefully not live a life of crime. At the same time, we've got to recognize there are just some bad folks out there. And for violent criminals, we need to keep them locked up. We need to keep them locked up for a very long time. You know, I'm tough on crime. I've got a good plan on how to deal with all this. I just listed some of it for you, and that's why 65 of the 75 county sheriffs in this state are supporting my candidacy for governor, and I'm honored. I'm humbled to have their support.
Of course, prisons being one of the big issues. The other we saw, especially in some of the runoff races in the primaries in May and just this week, was the private option. You have been outspoken and in favor of the private option. What are your thoughts? I mean, this could be a very divisive legislative session in 2015. If the people of Arkansas vote you into office, how do you go about handling something like that? We're already seeing 175,000 plus Arkansans on this new private option plan, and there's a lot of new members that say they would like to strip that. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I think we're up to about 180,000 now included on the private option. Look, I voted against Obamacare, but I support the private option. Here's why. What Governor Beebe, a Democrat, and the Republican legislature did was bipartisan, creative, innovative, so much so that we had to go to the federal government and get a waiver to be able to implement it. That's how far removed it is from Obamacare. Secondly, it is the only part of Obamacare that the states have any say or control over. And, you know, for us to turn down these federal funds makes as much sense as us turning down our federal highway dollars that we pay in every time we fill up at the gas pump. You know, I've heard some people say, well, I don't want my tax money going to provide insurance, health insurance for people who don't want to work. Well, they already get it. They're in traditional Medicaid. The Medicaid expansion is about the people that are trying to do the right thing and stay off welfare, but they're working the jobs with no benefits. You know, and then you know, it helps save our hospitals. That's why every hospital in the state is so supportive of the private option. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, it did make cuts to Medicare reimbursements for hospitals. That's how they help pay for it. But in doing so, they said, but the hospitals are going to be okay because we sort of make them whole again through the Medicaid expansion, the private option. They're going to start getting paid to treat people they were treating for free. And then some of these states that are refusing these new Medicaid dollars, we're already seeing hospitals close. And that's why every hospital in the state is so supportive of the Medicaid expansion or private option. And then finally, it saves the state about $89 million a year. You know, as you were driving to work today, you didn't see diseased, sick people laying in the ditch. And that's because we have uncompensated care programs that care for folks that don't have insurance. And through the Medicaid expansion, the private option, those programs will no longer be needed. And two, I really drove it home for me. I was speaking about this at an event, and one of the people there, that it was a lady, a woman that was waiting, part of the catering company that was helping serve at this event. She heard me talking about it, and she came up to me afterwards with tears in her eyes, and she said, "You were talking about me." She said, "I've got a college degree. I work two jobs. I've got two children at home. And this private option, this Medicaid expansion, is the first time that I've had health insurance since my husband left me." And I think that really, really drives it home. But if there's not a compassionate bone in your body, then look at it from a fiscal standpoint. Look at it from a standpoint of helping save our hospitals, especially those in rural areas. And to me, it's not a partisan thing. It wasn't when it was adopted. It was passed with a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature. And I'm committed to working with everyone to ensure that we can continue.
And it's interesting because not just yourself, if Asa Hutchinson wins the race. I mean, this is going to be a tough issue to handle as governor, either Republican or Democrat, because you said it yourself. It was a bipartisan effort there. How do you go about, I don't know what you would call this, wrangling the votes if needed, because this is going to be something where you do have a, at least it looks like in the Senate right now, you have a solidified number who can prevent this from going through. I mean, so what approach would you take as governor?
Well, let's remember that, you know, while it was real controversial and took several months to pass during this recent session, it always had 72, 73 votes. We're the only state in America that requires 75% to pass an appropriation bill. And so that makes a difficult hurdle. And it looked like it was real divisive when, in fact, there were, you know, 72, 73 folks who were supporting it from day one. It took a couple months to get the other couple of votes. Mm-hmm. And, I'm committed to working with everyone, but it's also going to take grassroots support. If you live in an area, talk to your hospital administrator, talk to your hospital board, find out what it means to them. And I think, I understand some people don't want to take this money from Washington, even though it's their money, because we're all taxpayers, because they're mad at the president or they're mad at Washington. But again, that makes as much sense as refusing our federal highway turnback funds from the taxes we pay at the gas pump. And so I think it's going to take a grassroots effort, and it will be tough because, a few people in a few far-right districts have run campaigns based on how they're going to oppose this. And so obviously I think it will be more difficult in the next session than it was this session, but I still think at the end of the day, common sense will prevail.
Yeah, it's very interesting because what we've seen, too, in the Senate and in the House, both the Speaker-designate Jeremy Gillum and then President of the Senate Jonathan Dismang, both for the private option, and then you have a lot of these factors. So it's going to be very interesting, obviously, to look at. I do want to move on to something else. What you have to deal with in a campaign, and those are poll numbers, whether or not you put a lot of stock into them, you can ask Eric Cantor. I do think it's important to get an idea of kind of where it is right now. I don't know if you saw this, Real Clear Politics put together an average of the major polls in the last month. It shows you down 46% to 40%. We've seen these polls go up and down, but what do you see going into the summer months, and what do you feel like you have to do to see those numbers rise for yourself?
Well, the only poll that matters to me is the one on November the 4th. Mm-hmm. Let's start there. Secondly, look, people can believe what they want to believe. I think everyone knows this is going to be a very close, a very competitive race. If I was really down 6 or 8 points right now, do you really believe the Republican Governors Association would be spending upward of $2 million on TV trying to tear me down? Of course they wouldn't. And just look at the primary vote. If you look at ACES primary vote in the Republican primary, my primary vote in the Democratic primary, over 250,000 votes cast. And even though there were 25,000 more people voting in the Republican primary than the Democratic primary, he only had a 1,315 vote advantage on me. So you do the math on that, and it was 50.3 to 49.7. I think at this point in the game, that's probably pretty close. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be close all the way to Election Day. And at the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to who can turn their people out.
Yeah, it's a good point. It is also important to note, as far as fundraising goes, you've done a quite the good job on your campaign right now. I think you have about $2 million on cash on hand, doubling up the Hutchinson campaign around $900,000. So it'll be very interesting heading into the summer. Mike Ross, former congressman and a Democratic gubernatorial candidate for governor of the state of Arkansas, thanks so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to kind of catch up with you.
Thanks, JR. Always a pleasure to be on your program.
All right, and for more information on his Jobs First Economic Plan, you can head to MikeRoss.com. This has been another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. For Director Jeff Campbell, I'm J.R. Davis. We'll see you next week.
This production is copyright 2014 by Nexstar Broadcasting Group. All rights reserved.